CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor, and I'm visiting with Robert Grabois of the Mercatus Center, and the problem is physicians, physicians' assistants, all non-physicians who are at the hospital helping all of us through the pandemic and afterwards. What is to be done? And Robert and his co-author, Murray Feldstein, have a wonderful idea. Airline licensing for pilots. How does it work, Robert?
Well, I can tell you how we think it can work. So first of all, again, just to reiterate, my co-author is both a doctor and a pilot, so he's been through both licensing systems. For medicine, you go to medical school, you are granted a license, essentially for life. You have to do something pretty terrible to lose it. And it essentially legally entitles you to do anything within the sphere of medicine. Now, there are some practical limitations. The hospital you're working at may say, well, you're not a brain surgeon, so we're not letting you do brain surgery. But it's an extremely broad license and limited checks later in life. The FAA certifies pilots in a very different way. First of all, their educations are modular. As we talked about earlier with Toyota, they take one module after another. You can go for a certification to fly Cessna single engine planes. Later on, you can say, I think I'd like to move up to double engines, and I'd like to add on flight engineering certification. And you keep adding certifications. Ultimately, if you want to fly 747s, you're going to have to add some more education to it. Though, when you decide to become a 747 pilot, they don't send you back to flight school and train you to fly Cessnas again, which is essentially, if you think about it, if you are a nurse anesthetist and you decide, I'd actually like to be an anesthesiologist, your option is to go to medical school and start at the beginning and go through. There is very little movement within. The FAA is much less concerned with where you acquired your skills than it is with the fact that you have, in fact, acquired those skills. So if you go for certification at the FAA, you may have acquired some of your skills in the military. You may have acquired some of them at a private flight school. You may have acquired some of those skills overseas. You may have acquired some of those skills, I don't know, from your uncle who owned an airplane. But what they care about is, when they give you the test, can you actually fly the plane the way you're supposed to? Do you have sufficient knowledge of the machine that you're going to be flying and the atmospheric conditions and all of that? It's referred to as the training is modular and stackable. So you can stack your credentials, from a lower level to a higher level over time. Much more fluidity between sort of the gradations of a pilot as opposed to the hard and fast barriers that exist between, a registered nurse, an advanced practice registered nurse, physician assistant, and physician. We have these very high walls, essentially say if you want to move between those, you're going to have to go back and retrain from the start. So we talk about, I would say, I don't know if we said it explicitly this way, but we're really talking about two sets of changes. First of all, states have the capacity right now to do some smaller changes, significant, important. So they can say that, for example, we are going to allow nurse practitioners to practice without supervision of a doctor. We can say, the state can say, well, if a nurse practitioner receives training and certification in doing, say, colonoscopies, well, that nurse practitioner is entitled to do that. Other states have hard and fast laws that say, scope of practice laws that say, no, if you're a nurse practitioner, you can't do that. Doesn't matter if you get the training. Doesn't matter if you know how to do it. Doesn't matter if you know how to do it better than most doctors have. You can't do it because you've got that title and you don't have that doctor's title. So states can do these things now, and quite a few of them are doing these things now. Some of them have been doing these for years. So there's a lot of short-term policies that are available to states to do. Now, in the longer term, the reform of the whole regime of licensing and scope of practice, we talk about moving more toward an FAA sort of a certification program for all these different healthcare providers, for physicians, for nurse practitioners, for physician assistants. So differences in how we train them, the ability to use credentials that you gain, for instance, in the military. If you are an Army medic who has been performing battlefield surgery and saved lives in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever, it doesn't actually buy you very much when you come back to the U.S. Again, if you want a career in nursing or medicine, that training, it's nice to have, but it isn't going to do anything for getting you your credentials. You're going to have to go back to square one. So there are ways that in the long run that we could integrate the skills that people have acquired over time into the training and the licensing. Eventually there will have to be, I think, given again, the likely scarcity of doctors right. that we're going to be seeing in the next 30 years, and we know it's coming, everyone knows it's coming, we're going to have to find ways to integrate more people in.
All right. You've published this, Robert, and we just have a minute yep. left. Do you find physicians associations practicing protectionism? Do they talk about it in these barriers they put up? We have about a minute.
Sure. Yeah, you absolutely see it. Now, there's some wonderful doctors who are quite open to new ideas, but the medical societies have been, well, Milton Friedman, the great economist, said that the American Medical Association was the single most successful labor union of the 20th century. And there's quite a bit of political effort that goes into building barriers to protect one's own profession. Again, protecting doctors. Medical licenses in your state from doctors in other states from coming in and practice. So yes, there is quite a bit of that. It's not universal. There are differing opinions, and it'll be an interesting thing to see over the next 30 years how things change. But as I said, I think it must simply because of the numbers.
Robert Grabois and his colleague Murray Feldstein publishing For Greater Healthcare Access, Licensed Physicians Like Pilots. Mercatus Center of George Mason University. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.